Hello, my name is Thomas Adams, and you are listening to Tag You Are It. This is a podcast of interviews on a variety of subjects that I feel need a voice in furthering our collective knowledge. These conversations are necessary, especially now, because time may be running out to have them. These are the hard conversations, those topics that can cause uneasiness, fear, animosity. It is my hope that these podcasts give the listener permission to engage in the hard conversation. Knowledge is the only way out. I created this podcast from conversations with friends over the years that have taught me how to look at life differently, to challenge and permit me to be a free thinker. I hope these podcasts will do the same for you. Hello, everyone. We're back. We took a little break to refresh ourselves and stretch our legs. So we're going to continue our conversation. I have a guest with me today. His name is Stacy Buckley. Just briefly to let you know, we were talking about a variety of topics, especially around issues of race and religion, spirituality, and Stacy is talking very candidly about a number of experiences, both as a man of color, but also as a soldier and growing up in St. Louis during a volatile time. And so, and as we were leaving, all of you, we were just beginning to talk about, I had made a joke on whether or not that we were all taught to believe that Jesus is white. And, you know, even the imagery as a child growing up in the booming metropolis of Monticello, Iowa, there was a mirror painted in the church and there was Jesus, white Jesus with all the white children in it. And so, and Jesus has always been portrayed as white, in most cultures and in most areas, at least for me, and I'll just speak for the whole United States. So we're talking a little bit about that. So Stacy, you were talking to us about, or talking to me about Pontius Pilate and his, and what you've read is that Jesus was not white, that he was actually a Negro Ethiopian. So do you want to pick that up, please?
The Bible says that Pontius Pilate is the one that presided over the crucifixion of this Jesus, Yeshua, Yahashua, whatever name that you want to associate with the gentleman. And so in the documents are the documents or notes that was left by Pontius Pilate, he did describe this man as a Negro Ethiop, which is Latin for, basically Latin for a black man from Ethiopia. But it was not only Pontius Pilate that described him as that. Pontius Pilate and at least five other Byzantine rulers described him the same way. And even Justinian, I believe at the 500-year anniversary of the murder, Justinian minted a coin, a gold coin, with his likeness, Justinian's likeness, on the front with the traditional Caesar haircut and the olive leaf crown on the front. And on the reverse side is a picture of Jesus with the sun disc in the back of his head, and his hair is in dreadlocks or cornrows, and the beard to his face is like the beard that you would see on a black man or a man of color, coarse hair, very close to it, to the jawline, not hanging down from the jawline or anything, like a black man would have. Those are just facts. That's not anybody's imagination. You could go onto the internet and see this coin, and you can also see that, again, Pontius Pilate and at least five Byzantine emperors describe this man as a Negro Ethiop.
So obviously through culture, through time, and that got lost in translation.
That's not lost in translation. Again, it's just who's bringing you the information. You know, I mean, the first pictures of Mary and Jesus, or Madonna and Child, were a black woman and her baby dressed in white linen. And those pictures are still all over Europe.
Yeah.
You go to any museum in Europe, Italy, France, anywhere, and see these pictures. The original pictures of Jesus and Mary was a black woman and her baby.
So what do you think happened?
You have to control a narrative. KRS-One, a rapper who's also a bit of a historian or whatever, says in order to control the people, you have to control their God. You have to control, you know, you control their God and their minds, and how that, you know, if you want to enslave a group of people, you can't just commit genocide if you need those people. You know, you're constantly spending money militarily and in other ways to control them. If you control their religion or how they see God and the order of things, then I mean, you got it made. So yeah. I mean, that's where you get that. And again, you have like the Inquisitions that were had, and you know, things that happened after 1492 when Ferdinand and Isabella took over the last caliphate in Europe, then that's what you have. And again, you had to need to be some separation. Now, this is even before the term Caucasian was invented, or you know, Europeans calling themselves white. Because
there was always power.
There was always this hodgepodge.
You know, the kings and queens were in power, and so they had the rights, you know,
to say what the story is.
Who looks like whatever. Was ordered by King James to the Bible to be revised, and so there was a lot of influences that went into that, and so a lot of it just, you know.
And I think a lot of that, even that very act, had a lot to do with the transitioning of the color of Jesus and Mary and all of these people and his disciples and everything like that, because King James was a black man. So again, he's given this knowledge, and they immediately had to flip the script, because he had written that he had the Bible translated into English so his people could read it and understand it for themselves. Okay, and he also said that he had problems with the way that the Roman Catholic Church had weaponized Christianity, basically.
Interesting. So, I asked you before the break about your core values, about your, how did you, you know, you talked about how you grew up in this, you know, a white church, and how that, and then some of your life experiences when you were a Marine and coming back here, and you're a student, you know, of spirituality, so to speak, or even theology, you could say that.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your driving force? What are the core values for you about your spirituality and about your faith and about, you know, do you believe in like the Trinity, or what would you consider yourself? Would you consider yourself a Christian? Would you consider yourself something else? I mean, you know, I don't know if you even, you know, we could have the whole conversation about labels, and I know that
right.
Sort of answering
this goes too far.
Yeah, so I'm sort of answering
right,
my
but,
own
yeah, my,
question.
Yeah.
I'll just have this conversation by myself. And so, but just talk about a little bit about present day. Like, what are your core values? What do you believe? What, when you wake up in the morning and put your foot on the floor, and what helps you through the day?
Basically, that just comes from, if you have to delve into the science of comedics.
Comedics.
Right, comedics, or that's basically the name they've given the religion of the people of the Nile Valley before the pharaohs. Or even at the time of the pharaohs, because comedics is based on that whole spirituality. The thing that confuses people with comedics and common religions is that when you read the hieroglyphs, you have to know that they're metaphors. Okay, even though they name a god, they name Osiris and they name Isis and these other people, they didn't believe that these were actual people. You see what I'm saying?
They were, well, that's where, it was a that's way, where it, mythology comes
right,
from.
Right. It was just a way to explain or rationalize the thinking, or to how to understand the science of our universe. Okay? Osiris is just another way of naming the sun as the most powerful entity. You know, Isis is just a way to personalize or rationalize the power of the moon goddess, or what happens when the sun goes down and the moon takes over. Okay, we are energized by every living thing on this planet is energized by the sun,
right,
and it's then nurtured by the moon.
Correct.
Okay, even humans, we go to sleep traditionally at night, and our bodies regenerate itself and repairs itself.
Well, they say that since our bodies are made so much of water, and the moon controls like the tide and everything.
That's why Mother Nature is associated with Isis.
I'm sure Mother Nature is in a really good mood these days.
Well, you see what's going on. You see what's going on. I mean, we're sitting here.
Our thoughts and prayers are with the people of
Australia, South America, Indonesia, all over the place.
And even in the United States.
The house is on fire.
We've had, the earth is on fire. And, Edgar Cayce, who was the sleepy prophet, who was read a number of books he composed. He didn't actually write them, but he predicted that someday that Mother Earth would get fed up with everything, the way we've been polluting it and beating it up, and revolt, would say, screw you, human, and say no more. And I think that's kind of true. I think that's happening, because I know Australia is, it's horrible and all the millions of animals, but every year we have horrific fires in California, but they're bad in Tennessee and all over, because we're in a drought. We're going into a drought season. So anyway, so back to
the religious thing. So any background, I formulated my beliefs basically by studying comedics, Yoruba, and Voodoo.
Voodoo.
Right. Those are all very traditional African spiritual systems that, again, are in one way or another are the basis for other religions that you see. Mythology and stuff like that, Greek mythology and these other people, they just basically follow the pattern. That the names are different, but the thing is the same, If you go to a voodoo priestess and ask them to raise a spirit for you, are you just not asking somebody to pray for you? When you ask somebody to pray for you, if a relative of yours is dying, and you ask somebody to pray for your brother or whoever is dying, are you not asking that person for a miracle?
Well, let's go back.
You asking them to perform some type of magic?
I'm confused.
Be confused, because again,
it's my show. I can be confused. And as Stacy, it doesn't take much with me. So, all right. So, do you ask the voodoo priestess to pray, or are you asking for someone who has passed that's in the spirit realm?
Well, I mean, you can ask a priestess or a priest to put you in contact with somebody that has passed away.
Okay.
Or you can You could go to one and ask them for prosperity. You can ask them the Haitian Revolution, for example. Okay, the voodoo priestess down there said that they raised the spirit of the god Ogun. Okay, and Ogun is a war god, a very furious warrior, and that again, his spirit came with them and helped them defeat the French, the Spanish, and the English with no weapons to speak of.
Do you think, let's go back to voodoo, you know, mm-hmm. because it's, do you think that Christianity, I don't know, this is just, you know, this is not scientific, this is our opinions here, but, you know, I'm thinking about, because when you hear about voodoo, you hear that in a very negative connotation.
Correct, know, yes. It's one of the things that the powers of be don't want you to know about. They don't want to know you about being spiritually free.
Right.
They don't want you to know how to free yourself.
People are scared by it. They think that you can buy voodoo down. It has the power to torture people and all this other kind of stuff that people, you know, believe that voodoo's, but actually voodoo was a type of medicine, wasn't it?
It was a spiritual system used to make things happen, you know. The right person could say a prayer for you. You got a broken leg, you know, you're out in the bush, you got a broken leg, they could say a prayer for you, put some wet mud on your leg, and your leg would heal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And another thing is about magic. If you study like the ancient Egyptians and the Kushites or whatever, they believed in magic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that's where Freemasonry, as far as the Europeans come. Okay. And paganism, they have found these. They understand that magic. And again, they use that against us now to control us now. You know, these mind control things that they do. You know, it's no doubt.
Well, voodoo's always been sort of interesting for me, and I have heard that it was used as a type of medicine, and so
correct, yes,
and that it wasn't a negative, or it wasn't demonic, and it wasn't Satanist, it wasn't any of that. It was a very natural way of taking things that we use every day or consume every day. And, you know, who's to say that magic doesn't, you know, people say magic doesn't exist, but I think it actually does.
Of course it does.
I remember when I was a child and I was in school, I think I was in high school or whatnot, and we started looking at mythology, and I was fascinated by it. You know, I thought it was cool, and now, you know, there's Ancient Aliens and all these shows on Discovery and History and everything where, you know,
there you go.
I don't think the technology was around to build the pyramids, and, you know, somebody had to do them. And so I think there's just maybe it was magic. We haven't really entertained that idea. Anyway, so all of these things. So would you say that you use all of these expressions in terms of, I mean, what's your golden rule?
My golden rule is basically to be a good person. You know, do unto others as you have to do unto them. I think that's a common thread amongst any religion or spiritual belief system in the world. You know,
but yeah, I mean that's, you know, the greatest commandment. I think it's in the Book of John, said love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Love thy neighbors as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the laws and the prophets. That's a really aborted version of those, of the commandment there, but it's basically love something greater than yourself and love each other, and that's it. That's the formula. So when you look at the Bible, it's like the rest is just sort of I know what they call it, dogmatic theology. That's a way to get around and say that, that it's influenced by humans. And so, you know, like I said earlier in the podcast, you know, Jesus spoke Aramaic. The first Bible was written, it was Matthew. The first gospel, the four gospels were all written about the same time, but they were written 70 years later. So it always makes me wonder how oral the oral tradition really was, what actually made it or what didn't make it.
That's, again, why it's very, it's for me, it's hard to understand how Christians, Jews, and Muslims get a direct, well, I understand Muslims because one person wrote the Quran or basically authored the Quran, but when you look at the Bible, again, it's a compilation of writings. Again, they were written by different people who lived at different times. Some of them never met each other, and many of them lived, you know, they never met Jesus. You know, they never met Moses. But, you know, these books are compiled, and then for the most part, people allow agents of these religions to explain or interpret what these books mean.
Yeah, they were canonized. By consuls.
But if you study journalism, you know, or publications, again, it's
you come to a common thread.
You
bring up a good point here. Is that I don't think people really think about this very often. But if you know, all the disciples, I think, and please, if you're going to fact check this, have at it. I'm not saying that this is absolutely the truth. This is a conversation, and this is the arena of opinion. And so, you know, I'm not running for president here. This is just conversations for you to think about, challenge, or whatnot. And you can always turn it off. What I think is sort of ironic about the Bible and about theology. Spirituality and theology are two different things. One can become of another, but that's a whole philosophical discussion, which we won't get into it. But you have to remember that most of the people were found to be heretics, and or they were, you know, most of the disciples were tortured and died because they were found not to be, you know, the mystics, which were sort of the spiritual people who thought completely differently about the interpretation of religion, were all found to be.
Well, first of all, they weren't under that brainwashing.
Right. So again, you know, anybody, but then everyone said, oh, gee, they were like, you know, they were heretic, or they were like wrong, or they were this, and then they're like crucified or whatever. So, you know, it's just interesting because that, I think, for me, the question of theology is interesting because it can never be answered. You know, everybody thinks they have an answer, and if you go to a bookstore where they sell books on religion, there's like people are cranking out books about God all the time.
All the time, of course. Everybody has their opinion.
And again,
you have to really, what's that based on?
Yeah, the resources are really limited with that. So anyway, so your rule of life is to really just be a good person.
And be open, and don't be afraid to be open-minded about everything. We're all here on this planet, and again, the reports out of Australia is like over 500 million animals and different plant species have lost their lives. Okay, but that's not on television.
Yeah,
that's not being beat over your head like this pseudo war they get ready to start with Iran. You know,
but again, well, they say it's World War III.
Are we not supposed to be? I mean, if you know, you take some of these religious teachings, are we not supposed to be the stewards of the earth? You know, somewhere in some book that says we're supposedly be created in the image of God. Well, wouldn't that make us the stewards of the earth? I mean, some people say that we're the most intelligent beings on the planet. I don't necessarily know about that, but that seems to be the common thread.
Human beings are supposed to be the smartest people on the mammals. That's because we could
pseudo in charge.
That's because we could formulate an opinion,
right? Or well, not because I think you know animals formulate their own opinions too, but they're just
I think they do
as jaded and vicious.
But they're just cuter.
Exactly.
There's really not an ugly animal out right. there. I have to tell you, they're really even snakes aren't ugly. So there's really not an ugly. Now tarantulas, but that's insects, so we won't go there. So you've had this journey. I hate that word, but I can never think of a better word to we'll dub it out. And so, but your passages in your life have gotten you to this point mm-hmm. of this is how I live my life, and these are the terms that I live my life on by being a good person and do good things, and that goodness will hopefully come back to me. So a couple of things. What do you think happens to you when you die?
I think you return back to the universe. Your energies, again, just return back to the universe and help do the things that we need to do. There's a hieroglyph at the temple of Osiris that shows Osiris and Isis together. You're basically representing male and female. Okay, and above them is a scarab, which is a symbol of life, representing life, and it rises to the sun. There's a sun over the top, and then there's these sun rays pouring back down over the top of Osiris and Isis. Okay, and that basically says that it is the male, the energy between the male and female, yin, yang, black, white, whatever, okay, that rises from the earth to the heavens. And then our blessings come back to us through the power of the sun. Okay, so again, we are actually God. I mean, it's our energies that is actually the driving force of the universe. And again, it's that energy that goes up.
I can
when
see
we
that.
Have those strong bonds represented in that scarab rises to the sun. And the blessings, again, come back to us through the power of the sun.
Because all life comes from the sun.
Correct. If the sun don't shine.
And we know a lot of people.
If the sun don't shine, nothing that lives on this planet will be living.
Yeah, I watched some.
Plain and simple.
I watched some movie last night where the sun goes out and it shows how fast we would die on the planet. It's frightening.
Right. Yes.
It's frightening because, you know, they say we're civilized. Only skit, and then if things get really rocky, we'll just kill each other. You know, it's interesting. So you arrived at that point. So let's go back, and we've talked a little bit about this, sort of peppered through the conversation. But so that's what you believe. How do you reconcile? Or do you reconcile? I don't even know if this is a question that will make sense, or is worth having a conversation. But I'm trying to figure out how, you know, you've come to this realization. This is how these are the terms you live your life on, and then how does race and racism play into that?
Well, first of all, you have to understand or overstand that. that's just a situation. Okay, and you understand where race, the idea of race comes from, what's rooted in that. Like my mother said, ride the high horse. Okay, so I just take the high road today. Anybody that's trying to starts doing the whole race thing is really lowering themselves, and how the more negative that conversation gets, they're really just riding the bottom of the barrel.
What do you mean by that, right at the bottom of the barrel?
They're stupid or something so negative, okay, that, it's not something that I want to be involved with.
Okay.
Okay, I would wipe that off the bottom of my shoe or throw the shoes away if I stepped in. It's not worth understanding. Somebody put out an awesome video, was posted on my Facebook page, of the story of the Grimaldi. And basically explains where white people come from. So these ancient Africans, 45 to 60,000 years ago, migrated into Europe and inhabited Europe for thousands of years. Okay, when the Ice Age came and they had to go underground to survive, well, you don't need melanated skin. You're not getting natural sunlight because you're not in that. So you lose the melanin in your skin. You lose the power of your pineal gland. It becomes a calcified organ in your brain. Okay? That the hair, the texture of the hair has to change. Okay? So my hair is like a ribbon. It curls. Whereas, your hair is more straight. So again, it would grow long to grow down the back of your neck and protect basically your central nervous system and things like that. These were things that are important.
Hmm.
When you look at most Europeans and most people of color, you look at me, it's not, people put it in so much contrast with the size of the nose and everything, but it's actually the size of the nostrils in the nose. If you look at my nose, my nostrils dominate my nose, which is where most people of color are born, in someplace that's warm or hot. You need those big nostrils to let more air in to cool your brain. It's true. That's a true fact.
I never thought of it before.
But that's a true fact. Okay. And most Europeans have closed nostrils or very small nostrils.
I have very small nostrils.
To prevent them from sucking all that frigid air up into their brain. Okay, I mean, that's just a evolutionary thing that happened over thousands of years.
Interesting. I never knew any of this before.
Yeah.
And so I'm just too busy being white in the cornfields.
But, now these companies, these DNA companies want to sell you this information, and a lot of it is very fake and false and flawed. People... When a famous white person comes up and says, "Well, I have African DNA. I'm German, or I'm French, or England," or they made a big deal about the Queen of England and George Bush having Egyptian bloodlines. Well, the black people lived there. Scotland is named after Akhenaten's niece, Scotty or Scotia. That was 2,800 years ago, 3,000 years ago when she went there. Okay? And again.
So tell me about,
we're all the same. That's why the race thing doesn't really bother me. I don't, to answer your question.
What?
Because I know where we all come from. Again, this is not just me saying this, but...
And the racism issue.
When they cracked the DNA code and everything else, they basically said, if you call yourself a human being, and that's another deal that we could talk about some other time, but if you could call yourself a human being,
I think
then your DNA...
I really don't think I'll ever interview anybody else. I think this will just be the Stacy and Thomas show. We'll just talk forever. Yeah. It's fine with me. Maybe this is what the divine manipulation is about.
Right. But it's not me saying this. Science says that if you call yourself a human being, if you are a human being, then your DNA could be directly traced back to a single black woman who lived in East Central Africa. I don't, you know. So we're all the same. How this evolved over time, it doesn't matter, because I mean we're all the same at the end of the day. We need to understand that certain parts of our society need to stop lying to us.
What do you mean
about
by that?
About timelines?
Oh, okay.
And things like that, because you know, so most people of European direction or under agents of the church,
yeah, oh, okay.
They cut everything off at 5,000 years, because it, you know, 5,000 years past 5,000 years, life wasn't
well,
too
yeah,
good.
Really,
in Europe.
I mean, there's really the church is really well. Jesus supposedly. You know, we're coming up to 2020, so that's 2,000 years, a little over 2,000 years. And so, and then before that, everything sort of gets written off. It's like the Canaanites were sort of like before that, and then there were the pagans, and then there was, you know.
But, I mean, that's just a structure, a religion that has nothing to do with actual human what facts that go on. So, I mean...
Well, there were the Jews, right. And then there
which
were
the
Christians.
Which is, again, why I tend to, again, try and draw my spiritual beliefs from Kemetics or other spiritual beliefs. It was actually...
Of the ancients.
The ancient Egyptians, they were scientists.
Yeah.
Okay? They were scientists, so they based everything on science. So, again, what a lot of things that I try, when I try to formulate opinions about things, to put science to the equation. Okay. And so,
do you believe in reincarnation?
I believe that we do, that your spirit does return. I believe that your spirit does return to the earth.
Do you believe that people that have gone back to the universe can come back and see you?
I think if you believe so. I think, speaking for a person. I believe if a person believes that, then yes, then people who are passed or can come visit you. I'm visited by my brothers a lot.
Well, I know a certain somebody who comes and sees you every night.
Right.
It's not me. No, it's the best little buddy in the world. Or, Stacey's.
Yeah, right. Max is a Shih Tzu breed of canine, lived to be 16 years old, and a deeply, a very vested spirit. I'll just leave it at that. Powerful, extremely powerful in a 7-inch.
I always believed
12-pound dog.
Yeah, 11-pound. For our listeners, I always liked a big dog because I'm a big guy, and so I always like big dogs. And so when Stacy said, "Oh, I have a Shih Tzu," and I was like, "What's that?" So I go, "Oh, he's cute." And when I went over to see him the first time, oh my God, you know. And I swear to God, there are tons of dog breeds out there, and everybody to each their own. Dogs are spiritual, wonderful animals, but Shih Tzus, they are part dog, mostly human, and a lot of divine. So anyway, Max, we know you're just one bark away, dear. Can you once sent me a text? It was a number of years ago. It was after the shootings in the church. I can't think. It was in the South.
Yeah, South Carolina.
In South Carolina, and you texted me. Do you remember what you texted me about? You said that here were these black people worshiping in a god that was forced onto them.
Yeah, so we had a group
so
of people.
I'd like for you
people.
Just to talk a little bit about that, because I think that's a really right. profound statement. Right. I think that
basically,
your...
I think the basics of the text were black people killed.
Praying. They were praying. Right. They're in a prayer group.
At a prayer group for a religion that was forced upon them.
Yeah, that was it.
Right.
Close enough.
Yeah. So again, you have a group of people who have, again, in the Deep South, okay, most all of them were elderly people who were killed.
Yep.
Okay. So, again, they come up on the slave Bible, and I'm not trying to slander that, but there is actually a version of the Bible that was geared for slaves or to be read to slaves. You come up on this, they accept the Christian religion, okay? They're going to church several times a week, you know, person or working in the church, supporting the church. They're at a prayer group, okay? And, yeah, you know, white dude comes in and slaughters them in the house of, in the supposed house of God.
Yeah. So, when you said that statement, I mean, that's a strong statement that, so they were, that had a profound effect on me, that I thought, you know, a number of these people were probably from slave families for slavery and they can't get here. And slave owners and white people made sure that they erased anything from them, probably.
Right. Yeah. It goes back to being able to control that the narrative for them and their spirituality, you know, how they actually feel about themselves.
Because they were probably perceived as being, you know, like not, I can't think of the word. They're probably just, you know, like wild people or whatever, that they didn't have any kind of sense of decorum or whatever. So,
but again, if they were practicing voodoo,
yeah,
okay, they wouldn't have been at that church, and they'd still be alive. Okay, and they might not even be in that town. I think it was Charlotte, North, South Carolina. They wouldn't even been there.
So, okay, so let me ask you a totally unfair question. So, do you think, what do you think about people that do believe in that, you know, that are, I don't know if it was a Baptist or evangelical or...
Right, people who are devout Christians?
Yeah.
How do you get to God? I mean, if you're a true believer and you're trying to get or live some type of spiritual existence, to me, it doesn't matter where you get that from. I mean, to each his own. But for some people of color, I think we need to realize, particularly here in the United States, we need to realize that maybe that's not the best for you.
It just seems like to say... It's a strong statement to say that if they believed in voodoo, they wouldn't be there.
They wouldn't have been at their church.
Right. And I understand that. But I think people would say, well, that's what they believed in. And so therefore, you know.
Well, okay. So I'm saying that's what you get when things like when.
Oh, that's what happens. I see what you're saying.
Okay.
I don't like it.
That sounds kind of hard and crass. That's kind of hard and crass. But if somebody's going to bring that turn to me, then basically, hey, that's what they believe. That's what they were taught to believe.
That's what they were taught to believe.
Okay. That's what they were taught to believe.
There we go.
Okay. First of all, it's not necessarily what they believe. That's what they were taught to believe.
They were taught to believe.
Okay. I was taught to believe the same thing, and then I found my way out of that realm of thinking.
Right.
Okay. By my own choice, by accepting my own blessings.
Right. And then you're going to have the whole conversation from the evangelists that are out there evangelizing and, you know, saying that their job.
First of all, God don't need a salesman. God don't need a salesman. God don't need money.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just saying it. So I don't get the whole evangelistic thing. Period.
Well, it's the thing from they take it from the Bible that you're supposed to go out and, you know, get as many people, you know, to convert them to Christianity. It's okay. That whole
and so
missionary.
Right.
Thing.
So Mary Magdalene wrote a gospel. What does she say about that?
I don't know. Let me go. First
of all, don't go get your Bible because that's not in the Bible.
I know it's in the.
Okay, then. Huh?
Oh, I think we're out of time today. Yes, I know
God don't need a salesman, okay? And again, if you look at what happened to Jesus. Jesus walked all the way from Ethiopia to Jerusalem to tell these people that, you know, about these fake Jews. And that's not my term. That's the term that Adolf Hitler gave those people, and other leaders have given those people. He walked all the way there to tell them and the Romans that they were lying, that they were actually not practicing the religion properly, or they were not true followers of the true religion. That's what got him killed.
Oh, yeah.
That's what got him killed. So he was supposed to be a Jew, right?
Yes, he was a Jew.
Was it not these Jews that were just happened to be lounging around Palestine who said that told Pontius Pilate he had to kill him?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
Yes. So again, you run around telling the truth all the time might get you killed.
And I think Jesus, you know, I think Jesus was an immensely spiritual person. And I think he, come on, you know, if we believe the stories in the gospel, he spit in people's eyes and they could see, and he raised Lazarus from the death 3 weeks later. Ooh, I would hate to be around for that one. But you know what? People call that a miracle, and I call it magic. You know, so it's just
right. Right.
So it just depends on how you look at it.
Is it a miracle or is it magic? And so, right. So those, you know, you're a good person if you create miracles, but you're bad if you perform magic. So
exactly.
So a voodoo priestess is a witch, and something negative because she can. And do spells and call up spirits, okay? But the evangelist on TV run around putting his hands on people's heads and making them jump
heal.
Out and walk without walkers and see and everything like that. That's a miracle.
That's theater.
That's not magic.
That's theater.
Okay.
Well, no, you know, it's...
It is what it is.
I don't know if it's really... You know, it is what it is, but is it magic? Well, and you know, this is way off the subject, but it's open season. Maybe that's what I should call this, open season, is that we Christians, or and not Christians, I won't put a label on this, but people who celebrate Christmas or the holidays, you know, talk about Jesus, or talk about Santa Claus, and, you know, and that's supposed to be sort of the magical thing, that there's this man that, you know, that's white and that comes and gives you gifts.
Uh-huh.
And in my family, I have three older sisters, and my eldest sister, Jane, when they told her about Santa Claus and they said he didn't exist, she had a nervous breakdown. So none of us kids ever believed in Santa Claus, which I think was probably a good thing. But some people said, well, you know, by believing in Santa Claus, I believed in magic. But I said, but then somebody came and took that away from you and said he didn't exist. It's not. It's just, you know, this mythical person. And there's people that say there's Saint Santa Claus and then, you know, whatever. I don't care.
Oh, they tied to Saint Nicholas.
I don't care about that.
There's some, you know, elf.
Now,
from,
any of it, what I really believe Germany in is Krampus. Krampus is the one I believe in.
Yeah, exactly.
Just watch that movie.
Yes.
Watch that movie. It is so freaking creepy. But you know what? You watch that and you think, yeah. Because, you know, the elves were demons. It's just, you know, very interesting. So anyway, but all right. Well, we've had a lot of a conversation here, Stacy. And so is there anything else you'd like to say at this point in time? Is there anything that we missed? We've talked about a lot of things that we've talked about over the years. And what would you want people to know? Or what do you think it's important to tell people?
I think it's important to tell people to always seek knowledge. If you have questions, or you want to believe something and you don't necessarily believe, just continue to seek knowledge. I mean, so much of of very important knowledge is hidden from us. And, you know, it starts with like timelines and how old the world is, how ancient people are, what's actually happened on this planet. I mean, if you do investigation, I mean, there's, again, scientific evidence that there was a ancient atomic war on this planet.
I've seen that on TV.
So, I mean, you look... So if you do research, I mean, there are entire continents and cities that are buried or under the ocean. Okay, Hollywood has an amazing way of throwing little tidbits out there at you. You know, for our secret society leaks these little tidbits from you. The movie came out last year, Aquaman. Aquaman is a cartoon or comic book character who his mother was from Atlantis, and his father was lived here on the surface, and they go through this whole thing, and a young lady, a princess, comes from Atlantis to get him to help him fight against a force that's coming to, you know, invade the planet and, you know, right, destroy everything and whatever. And the sister from Atlantis referred to the Sahara Desert as the Lost Sea.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, like, it was a sea there before, and it dried up. It got lost, and it got dried up, and now there's nothing left but the sand.
But yeah, that's true. I've heard that.
So. Okay, so I mean, just if you think about that, we know by what science tells us that the Sahara Desert at one time was a lush green open land, just like the most of Central and Southern Africa. Okay,
yeah,
and now it's covered by sand. Okay,
yeah,
like real deep sand. But when you look at it, it looks like a sea. You can actually see waves. The ripples.
Yeah.
From the waves.
Okay. Well, and I think, you know, I've often believed that Atlantis was a real city, and the stories are what about Atlantis. Some people say that the Bermuda Triangle is where Atlantis is, and other people say it's other locations, and then before Atlantis. Yeah. Atlantis, there's Jumeirah or someplace. It was like the first real civilization, whatever. But they say that in Atlantis, that they had all this technology.
That, right. They were very advanced people. And again, a lot of these ancient civilizations were very, very advanced.
Yeah, they had these giant crystals, and that's where all their energy. But then some schools believe that they collapsed because the technology they had killed them or whatever. So,
and that's kind of like the little tale that they give in the Aquaman movie. But how about, again, that nature happens?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Plain and simple. So we know that
it's happening now.
A million years ago, that the Earth wasn't on the same axis that it is now.
No.
We know that. We know that the oceans are hundreds of miles deeper than they were 10,000 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay. We know that 90% of what we know to be Europe was a frozen wasteland. Okay. And there are palm trees in Italy and in Spain.
Yeah. At St. Louis, all you have to do is go to Pacific, because you go through these giant hills, and that's where the glacier didn't go through, because the glacier smoothed everything out. So let's see. You said that your rule or your takeaway, for people listening, is to always
just seek knowledge.
And would you say would you say that would be the same thing you would say about people that we're going to go all the way back to sort of the beginning of all of this, but is like, you know. Do you think that is the answer for people that don't know how to address the issues of race in America?
Yes, because again, this thing is so deeply rooted. You do have to have facts. And again, when you have facts that are backed up by science, you can have an intelligent conversation with another intelligent person. And you can present those facts and have a discussion around that. I was listening to a group of white gentlemen, and they were, you know, sparking all this crazy nonsense about people of color and everything like that, but and about the South. They were actually talking about the rebel flag. But they don't necessarily understand the history of the Civil War and what happened then, okay? The carpetbaggers came down there and took your land from you, okay? You had a war. Your military surrendered, okay? The carpetbaggers came from up north. It took over the land, basically just kicked your free labor to the curb, okay? They didn't really do anything for black people, but said that we weren't owned by the slave master anymore. Didn't give us any damn thing. Just set us free. And actually proposed to the establishment in the South that they were going to send us back to Africa and send us to South America and stuff like that, which is something that they couldn't do because these other governments like Portugal and Spain said, no, you can't send them down here. You can't do that. And again, why would you send us back to Africa to help us rebuild Africa? So that part, they weren't going to do that at all, period. If you look at Liberia, Liberia was a country that was started by freed slaves, and the United States government promised that they would help them, that they would aid them as long as they had a democratically elected government. And they've had since the very day that it started, and they ain't got a damn thing from the United States. Nothing.
Yeah, I remember all the promises.
Okay, so they
like
got
nothing.
If you
move back, you'd get property, right, and all this stuff. Yeah.
So, again, if you want to draw arms and do harm to people of color, why not go to New York, to Wall Street? Why not go to the White House, Washington, and the Capitol, and do harm to them? Why not pull your guns on them and make them do right by you? They're the ones that took all the money and fucked it up. Okay, so they not only took your land and everything, your way of life, and changed your culture, your way of life and everything, they took all the money and they fucked up the money.
So let's ask this question. Do you think are you saying a black person would take a gun and go to a white person, you were just talking, in Washington and say...
No, I'm saying the white people, white supremacists, right, who have a problem with people of color.
Right.
Because they see us as some type of detriment to them. We take jobs that they should have and all these crazy things. Well, look at the situation. Who put all of us in this situation? Okay.
Why?
You know, Archie Bunker.
Yeah.
Archie Bunker didn't like the fact that George Jefferson lived as well or better than him.
Yeah.
Okay. That's not George Jefferson's fault.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not.
Okay. So do you think let's
the fact that the country is broke is not the
black people's
the problems of brown, black and brown people. We didn't cause that. We're still a very small percentage of the population of this country.
Right.
Okay? We're not the face of crime. I'm sorry, we're not. But all these, I mean, you let these people lie to you and distort the truth, like they distorted with your religion. But if you want to be, again, who took the money? Uncle Sam is basically broke right now. That's why we go around starting these proxy wars and stuff like that. So again, to appease the Federal Reserve, okay, and to keep them from printing our money.
When we're in war, we
don't have any resources
to
back that money.
When we're in war, we always make money. The economy goes up because we have to make bombs and all this crap for
war. Right, exactly.
So let's just say... What do you think there could be another civil war in this country? And if so, who would it be between? Who would it?
Well, I don't necessarily know because again, the psyche of the country is so fragile and so divided. that I don't know how it's going to turn out. What to happen is exactly what I said to happen. So all these armed white militias who run around and want to do harm to people of color, take your anger to Washington, D.C.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Okay. And to Wall Street and tell them to do better about what the hell they're doing with the money.
You want the white supremacists to say that to Wall Street?
Correct.
White supremacists go to Wall Street? They've got everything. I mean, what would be the...
No, I'm talking about poor... Not all white supremacists are corporate. Most of them are poor, disenfranchised white people.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. And that's not a bad thing.
No, it's not a bad thing.
That's just a technical term, a technical society term.
I agree.
They're
with
a disenfranchised
you.
Group of people.
Okay.
That have somehow been led to believe that black and brown people are their problem.
Yes.
And that's not the truth. The problem is that, again, the carpet baggers came from up north.
Yeah.
They took your money and your land, your resources, combined them, told you lies that the money was going to trickle down and they were going to give you all these stocks and bonds and all this stuff. And it never happened.
And it still isn't happening.
It's still not going to happen. They do what the hell they want to do. So again, if you want to be mad, if you want to really make a change in this country, you might want to start with the people who are running your government and the people who are running your banks, the people who are actually in charge of your money.
There we go. So would you wager, would you think that potentially if there was a civil war, it would be against the rich and the poor?
I would sincerely hope it would be. I would sincerely hope that all disenfranchised people in this country, black, white, red, yellow, again,
Hispanic, whatever,
we all got together and told the people in power, the powers that be, we're tired of this and we're not going to deal with it no more. Okay? We're going to make this sacrifice. I'm not going to work for you anymore. Okay? So if you're not going to do the right thing, so we had, they made a big deal around Christmas time about certain executives giving them tons of money to their employees and stuff like that. Okay? But
yeah.
Why doesn't every CEO do that? Okay? The average CEO makes $100,000 to a dollar that every hourly employee makes for them.
Well, that, you know, if we're having this discussion, last week on CNN, it said that the discrepancy between females and males in the pay scale, that it will take 287 years for females to make the same amount of money that males do. 280, and that just seems ludicrous.
Right. These are the things that are wrong, though. And these are the things that affect society. And these are the things that need to change. You know,
yeah.
Again, all this hatred against other people is ridiculous. I mean, if you realize...
So, can I ask you this? This is sort of off on the left field, but why do you feel that we live in St. Louis. St. Louis is urban. There's lots of stuff. You know, like I said, I went home to see my mom this year. She lives in Iowa City, and when I told people I was from St. Louis, they went, "Ooh, that's a dangerous town. How can you live there? I think it's such a dangerous town," which it probably is. But the why it seems like when there's crime in a city, it's more black on black and not black on white. Would you say that's true, or is that just how it?
Yeah, I mean, that's the systemic.
Is that how it's reported?
Right. No, first of all, because a lot of it's systemic. So you again, when you live in a place that's as segregated as St. Louis, okay? So you have all the black people are in basically in these certain given areas, okay? And it goes back to the culture of this country, you know? If a black person commits a crime against a white person, they're going to jail.
Yeah. Okay. I've been for a long time.
The police are coming.
They're going
for a long
time.
And if they don't
time.
Kill you,
yeah.
you're going to jail.
Yeah.
Okay? And I don't care if it was a fist fight, an argument over a parking spot at Hardee's or whatever.
Yeah.
It's going to end up bad. Okay? to commit a crime. You know, a person, a burglar or something like that, can't go to Chesterfield or Ladue and scope out a house because they're going to get stopped for just driving down the damn street.
They're profiled.
Okay, yeah. So they're going to get stopped before they even got to commit the crime. So that's why you have so much what's been labeled as black on black crime. Is what is funny though is nobody reports white on white crime
unless it's sensational.
But no, but again,
like
even
if
the
somebody
way,
breaks
even
in the house
but no,
and kills,
even the way it's reported is different. Okay. So when a white man goes home and kills his wife and kids and, yeah. and slaughters the dog and all this old shit, again, it's a tragic thing that happened.
Oh, that's true.
You know, you know, he has some type of mental illness. He had lost his job. All this other shit that happened to him. It's a reason why we're supposed to feel sorry for him that he did it. We're supposed to pray for the dead wife and kids and all this shit. Okay? When a drive-by happens in North St. Louis, where them damn niggas, you know, blah, 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 but the fucking savages, you know, run around.
Savages, that's what I was looking for earlier. Savages.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So, is it not savage to go home and kill your child?
And people say, let sleeping dogs lie. I mean, they're like, so I remember many years ago, I was coming home, I was on Arsenal, I was at a stop sign. You could hear shotguns. I looked over. There was a guy piling bullets into a guy in the car. The guy, I guess, died. The guy ran over the top of my car and inside this building. And I didn't know what to do. And I had a cell phone, you know, cantankerous old cell phone. And in the car, and I called a friend of mine who said, let sleeping dogs lie. Don't do anything about it. And I was just like appalled at that. But I couldn't make it clear. I couldn't identify him clearly. And so, but I was sort of like, and you're right, you know, there's a fund that's been set up for the blah, blah, blah. But if there's a, you know, look at last year, there were so many drive-by shootings shootings in St. Louis that involved children. And we're just like, so what?
Yeah.
You know, whatever,
right?
You know, black kids being shot, the news goes and interviews somebody, and then that's it,
right? I mean, it, you know, Amber Alerts. White kid goes missing, it's an Amber Alert in five states around there instantly. Okay, nobody looks for little black kids. Okay.
You know, it's interesting because I'm trying to think if I've ever seen an Amber Alert for a black kid.
You don't see them. Okay. I worked with a young lady 2 years ago at the casino, and somebody took her daughter, her 14-year-old daughter, that was sex trafficking her. Okay. In the neighborhood that I grew up in. Okay. And no Amber Alert. I didn't even know what was going on with the young lady until she quit her job. After they found her daughter. Okay. So even though the people at our job knew, they weren't saying anything. Oh, you can't do that because that's against some type of law, you know, blah blah blah. We won't let you know about that. Okay, nobody helped this young lady try to find her daughter.
Because she was black.
And there was no Amber Alert for her, okay? She was being sex trafficked. At a house that was probably less than 3 miles or 2 miles from the police station. Okay. So how many cop cars pass by the intersection of Delmore and Kings Highway every day?
A lot.
She was one block over from the intersection.
And the house being
from the intersection of Kings Highway and Delmore.
Wow.
Okay. Nobody looked for.
So, I guess there would be, after that story, there would be a whole bunch of different people in a civil war. Sorry. It's not funny. We're not. Right. I don't want to diminish.
But there's so many things. When you talk about a civil war, there's so many things that could happen.
Yeah.
Okay. First of all, our government sees that we have such a big problem with race in this country. Our government could actually help black people here in the United States relocate back to Africa.
If you could do that,
or to South America.
If you could do that, would you go?
Yes. Yeah, instantly. Instantly.
I could see that. I could see you. I could see you would go.
I think a lot of people would. Because, you would have that opportunity.
It's better than here.
We're not even saying that. Let's not even go there with that.
All right, sorry.
Okay, you would have the opportunity that you don't have here. So if you just gave us a little money to go over and set up societies in Africa.
Set up a culture.
We could again create an economy that would actually help the world's economy.
Yeah.
Okay. Africa's broke. America is broke. Uncle Sam is broke. That paper money is nothing. This is just a bunch of numbers. It's not backed up on anything. Okay? Take your American dollars to Hong Kong or Dubai and see what that gets you over there.
Some oil?
We'll get you nothing. You better have a lot
It'll get you a room at some poorly designed hotel that'll start on fire. That's right.
Well, no, because again, that's another misnomer that we have about these places like Dubai and stuff like that. These places are high-end places that the bad characters in our society stash their money.
Yeah.
Okay? That's where the blood money comes from. It goes from the oil and the diamonds and all this other stuff.
Oh, my God. That place is like an instant city. It's just like, it's massive.
Correct.
It's huge.
Yeah, and they build anything, that they want to. You can't get a pothole fixed in your damn street. Okay? But it's some fool running around there. He's got a diamond encrusted Bugatti.
That's, I'm looking for a new place to live. That should be my, do I want to live by a park? I should live on a street that doesn't have any potholes, because in St. Louis, you can you can have your whole, front end realignment tires wrecked by the potholes in St. Louis are
even though, again, we talked about this earlier, we started selling lottery tickets to help improve the roads in the public schools. We allow casinos to come in, and again, they do nothing but help to destroy the fabric of our society.
Nothing.
They feed addictions to people who have addiction. And again,
and you can still smoke in them in St.
Louis. And we still don't have any money.
In Missouri.
You still don't have any money. The streets are still raggedy. Okay? Where does all that money go? Okay? The casino that I work at pays over $200,000 a month in taxes.
Wow.
$200,000 a month they give back to the state. That's just one casino. Okay? So there's six of them in this area. Okay, so how many? Okay, so why did our schools just get their accreditation back? Why are the streets so raggedy? Why are the bridges falling down? Where's all that money going to? Okay, it's our politicians that are ripping us off. So again, when you run around waving your rebel flag, again, that's the person you should. Those are the people that you should be mad at. Okay, not the young black guy. Standing on the bus stop trying to catch a bus so he could go work with wash dishes and make baked potatoes at a restaurant, at a white-owned restaurant.
Yeah. And some people ride hours.
Yes.
And in St. Louis, they've been really, discreet about bus lines. And for a long time, if they have to cut quarters, they cut bus lines out in the county. And so that people that need to go out there to work at restaurants can't get there. So
correct.
There's all this sort of systematic...
Right.
Redistricting of things to, And now with our government's decision or whoever decided to cut 700,000 people off food stamps, I was at you know, in a store today talking to one of the clerks who I've known for a number of years, and I said, and they were talking about how bad shoplifting is at their store. And I said, well, now that 700,000 people, it's going to get worse.
Of course.
People have to figure out a way to make money in order to feed their families. It's become that basic.
Great.
And so it's, well, I'll just say this. Everybody who's listening, we have a hell of a lot of work to do. And
definitely,
we don't have the luxury to sit back on our butts and think somebody else is going to do it for us.
No.
Because if you think that, things are only going to get worse. So I'll have like a little call to action, but I won't go into it right now because I'll just ramble on and on and on, and all of you will turn the radio off in your car and so, or wherever you download your podcast. And so, but okay, parting shot. Stacey, anything? We've talked about a lot of stuff, but we got to come to a close here. So is there...
I would, again, urge everybody to educate yourself, okay? Knowledge is power, okay? It doesn't matter what color you are, how much money you have, where you come from, or where you think you're going, okay? Knowledge is power, and having an understanding of your environment, the things that are going on around you, will be is going to be the key to your success and happiness.
Okay, well, thank you all for listening. Stacey Buckley, thank you for your time.
My pleasure.
These interviews, you'll only hear a part of it. It's taken a couple of hours. But this is, as I said earlier, when you have, you heard about our spirit animal, Max, the super shih tzu of the universe. We didn't want to fly with Max, so Max was the prince of all things small and furry and occupied the back seat of my RAV as we went to Fort Lauderdale twice. And like I said, when you're in the car with somebody for 12 hours and you spend one night and then the next day you're in the car for 12 more hours, it's like you're getting dipped in. Oh, anyway, and that's where these this is where this idea came from. I'm going to be talking a lot about a lot of different things coming up, so stay tuned to everything. Stacey, you're a magnificent being, and
thank
I am
you.
Grateful that I'm friends with you, and you have taught me a great deal about my life, and you have also challenged me to think differently, and I hope his words do the same for all of you. So... I'm hungry. I want to go eat something. Well, this has been quite the conversation, and I appreciate your candor and your fearless honesty. For our listeners, I would remind you to check out my other podcasts when they become available at Tag You're It 1957 on Instagram and Tag You Are It on Facebook. Please check out my online bakery store at tagtruffles.com. For those of you who may be wondering where TAG comes from, it's my monogram, Thomas Adams Glenn. I'm named after my father. If you have any questions or comments, please feel free to contact me at thomas@tagtruffles or through my Instagram and Facebook pages. And also, please respect the opinions you hear on this podcast. You may feel uncomfortable with its contents, but just be open to the opportunity of learning and increasing your knowledge. You will never know where it may take you. This has been Thomas Adams. Thank you so much for listening, and watch for the next installment of Tag You're It. Good day to all.